Living on.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. We do appreciate you listening. Coming up on the program, WVNN's Dale Jackson. That's about an hour from now. We'll also hear from Yellowhammer News' Tim Howe and our former state representative, Paul DeMarco, now the chairman of the Jefferson County Republican Party. So please stick around for that. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. Let us know. What do you think? How do you get vaccination rates up in Alabama? What is the answer there? So, any suggestions, even if you are an anti-vaxxer, what would it take to get you to do that? Joining us now on the program, very excited to bring on my next guest. She is now a state senator. April Weaver joins us, represents Shelby Bibb in parts of Chilton County. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. We appreciate it. Well, Senator, first off, congratulations on the win Tuesday night. You have the distinction of being the only female in the Republican caucus in the state Senate now, and you're going to get to be the voice of a lot of women in this state that are Republicans. Just first of all, talk about the win and being in this kind of new role, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on your show. It's a pleasure to be here. And first off, I want to apologize for it taking a couple of days for me to get here. I know you and I had some correspondence before, and the night of the election, I made the pledge, and as I have made in my House campaigns in the past, that I would clean up my campaign litter before I did anything. One of the things that I really hate to see is campaign signs that are left forever just lying around. So had a great night Tuesday night, exciting morning Wednesday morning, and then right after my swearing in and some of the events, I went and changed clothes and got some crews together, and we started picking up campaign signs. So we did that until dark Wednesday night, had a full day Thursday, and I'm excited to say I think with the exception of one sign that I have made arrangements for the landowner to take down, I think we have everything cleaned up. So, again, sorry for the delay in me getting here, but thank you for understanding that I had made that commitment to clean up all of those signs before I started doing things like this.
Yeah, and we appreciate that. I think a lot of people, especially this listening audience, will approve of picking up your campaign signs. There's still campaign signs you drive down anywhere in Alabama left over from like 2018 and before. So that is probably, something people will give you a little grace on. Not prioritizing the Jeff Poor Show over picking up the campaign signs, but just talk about the campaign. You won resoundingly. Sure. That's a very Republican district, but now you're in the Alabama Senate.
That's true, and I know you had asked the question about being the only female Republican senator, and while I'm not the first Republican woman senator, I believe Senator Ann Bedsole was the first Republican woman senator back in the early 80s and served through the mid 90s. And then there was also Senator Harry Ann Smith, who was first elected as a Republican.
Right. but
there hasn't been a Republican woman in the Senate since 2010. So I'm really happy to be joining the Senate Republican Caucus as the only Republican woman currently serving in the Alabama Senate. And I do feel I will bring a different perspective to many of the issues that are discussed on the seventh floor. And I'm looking forward to being able to be a voice for conservative women in Alabama. Now, do I think I should get special consideration because I'm a woman? Absolutely no. And trust me, I didn't get any special consideration when I served in the House. But I am looking forward to joining the Senate Republican Caucus. And I think that they've needed a Republican woman for a long time.
Yeah, well, and we heard these calls for that, I guess, with the abortion ban was passed in 2019, and the Senate took a little bit of heat for not having that voice, but now you have that. You have somebody that could at least kind of carry that banner if needed.
Right, and, based on the past experiences that you've seen in the House with the legislation that I have carried, I'm 100% pro-life, and I do feel like I will have a big voice in those discussions now, not only as a Republican woman, but as a nurse and someone who has spent the majority of my life as a healthcare leader. I do feel like I probably will be very involved in those discussions.
Well, and that's, like I said, for a lot of people, that is that was sorely needed, and now you got it. But other than that kind of, you know, those issues, but, your district is, I don't know, it's unique in that it's suburban, but it's also very rural as well. But, you know, you just made the rounds on the campaign trail. You don't get really any better focus group than that, knowing what people are talking about. What were you hearing from folks when you were out campaigning?
You know, like you said, I have a very, very large Senate district. It's basically, for those of you that know the geography of Alabama, it's basically everything west of 65 in Shelby County. It's all of Bibb County, and it's all of Chilton County, really north of that 205 exit there at Clanton. So very, very large district. It's from the Tuscaloosa County line to I-65 to the Jefferson County line to the 205 exit in Clanton. So it was a lot of ground to cover. And what I heard loud and clear is that they want a conservative voice for District 14. You know, they want someone to protect the rights of gun owners. They want us to continue to be fiscally conservative. They want balanced budgets. They want reduction of wasteful spending. They want smaller government. They want lower taxes. You know, they want a protector of the unborn, going back to our discussion of the pro-life discussion, but they also want someone to represent them to be pro-business. There's a lot of farming in District 14. They want agriculture to be supported, and, you know, up in suburbia, there's, you know, infrastructure is also something that has been a really hot topic. So, you know, based on the discussions that I was having in a lot of the different areas, lots of different discussions about the specifics of the areas, but loud and clear, they want someone to be a conservative voice for Senate District 14.
That the infrastructure question is always the one, you know, a lot of people look at state government as such that, you know, we don't ask much, education maybe to some extent, but just be able to get us from point A to point B in an expeditious manner as possible, then, you know, that especially in your district there, I would have to think, just the way that it's growing so much.
Certainly, and infrastructure was a big part of the discussion when I served as a House member of the Shelby County delegation. Before I left, I was the House chairman of the Shelby County delegation, and we had lots of discussions at both the local level and the state level, and I would assume that those have continued during my absence, and I can guarantee you they will continue as I go back into the Shelby County Legislative Delegation.
Joined by State Senator April Weaver here on the program. Now, Senator, you were, as you mentioned, in the House, but you left to go be a part of the Trump administration, the Health and Human Services. So you have a very steeped knowledge of health care and health care issues. That's your background, correct?
That's correct.
So I guess that is going to be a place where you're going to really put an emphasis on going forward as a senator now. I mean, like, what do you think? We have a lot of challenges in this state with health care. You know, the metrics are very tough. And, not necessarily related to anything COVID, but just overall, rural health care, there's always the scuttlebutt about the expansion of Medicaid or doing something along those lines. Do you have any thoughts about health care in the state as a whole?
Absolutely. And, when I left the State House, I did go join the Trump administration as the Region 4 Director for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And as a nurse, and again, someone who spent my whole life in as a healthcare leader, it was the opportunity of a lifetime for me to be able to contribute, during a pandemic and an unprecedented time that none of us had ever seen anything like that before in our lifetime. So, my states that I covered for the Trump administration were Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina. Was based out of the Atlanta office, and I also had responsibility for working with healthcare for the 6 federally recognized Indian tribes in the area. So I got to see a lot of different things there at the national level. But I never quit serving the people of Alabama because as Alabama was one of my states, I stayed in constant contact with health leaders in Alabama as well as other health leaders throughout the Southeast. So I got to see a lot of really, really great things taking place in healthcare. And I'm hoping to bring some of the things that I learned there back to Alabama to continue to work on health outcomes here in the state. I know that you mentioned expansion of Medicaid. You know, Medicaid expansion was always part of the State House discussion over the 10 years that I served in the House. As you know, I just got elected last Tuesday night to the Senate, so I haven't been a part of any recent discussions about a Medicaid expansion that would be here in Alabama. But, you know, over the past 10 years, there hasn't been an appetite within the Republican caucus to expand Medicaid. I mean, I have no reason to believe that's changed. The problem in the past has always been, how do we afford to continue the expanded program after the federal dollars go away after the first few years? And, you know, as someone who represents an area with rural hospitals, I have, you know, have three hospitals in District 14. I understand the challenges that they face. And, you know, if it can be done in a way that the state can afford it, it will make sense. But thus far, no one has found that path yet. You know, each year there are projections and there are modeling impacts that the budget chairs evaluate as we start looking at the budgeting process. You know, this year these projections are probably going to include funding incentives provided by the American Rescue Plan Act. Chairman Klaus and Chairman Albritton will most certainly be involved in those discussions, as will my friend, former Representative Bill Poole, who recently got appointed as the finance director. You know, I look forward to hearing those discussions and look forward to being a part of those discussions. But you know, at the moment, I've not heard anything that would make me think that the Republican members of the legislature have changed their views from the past.
Well, I tell you what, I think it is a lot of times the proponents of a Medicaid expansion, we do this thing in Alabama where we conflate rural hospitals and rural health care. They're not necessarily the same thing, although they do a lot of overlap. But it would seem to me that, you know, whenever you hear about a hospital closure, we haven't had, you know, maybe in a year or so with the hospital closure situation, but that there's other alternatives other than just having a hospital that's underutilized in a lot of rural areas in this state.
And you know, most certainly there are. And you're exactly right that rural health care and rural hospitals are not the same. But rural hospitals provide a lot of the rural health care within the area that they serve. I'm proud to represent a district that includes some of the state's best practices for rural health care and have worked with them so closely over the 10 years that I was in the House and that I served as the health chairman. You know, in my district, I have three great examples of rural health care systems that are really taking care of people. I have the Medical Center in Centerville. They have not only a rural hospital, but they have primary care and a skilled nursing facility, retirement homes. And you know, when I was in the House, they opened a rural labor and delivery unit at a time when most of those rural labor and delivery units were closing down. I have in my district Cahaba Medical Care, and you may be familiar with them, but they are a community-based organization that has federally qualified health centers. They have a family residency program. They have a nurse practitioner residency program. And they look, you know, not only at rural underserved areas, but urban underserved areas too, and they have, you know, access points all over central Alabama. So, you know, as we go forward, you know, Chilton County, I'm thinking about them. They also have a hospital that recently was built after the other rural hospital closed. They do a great job taking care of the people of Chilton County. So as we go forward looking at rural health care and how we make things better, I hope that people will look to what we have in Senate District 14, because I think that these programs could be replicated and could really be used to affect outcomes, health outcomes in Alabama, you know, for the better. When I was a regional director at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, these Alabama programs were nationally known for the great work that they're doing related to rural health care. I just have every reason to believe that my district will continue to shine when it comes to innovation in rural health care. And I look forward to working with them to help bring some of these ideas to the state as a whole, to continue to move Alabama forward in those areas.
And last question, we'll get you out of here then, this Senator. I assume you're keeping a close watch on, I know you haven't been a privy to a part of the discussions yet, but have you, you know, the prison situation, one of the proposed facilities that Governor Ivey had with her lease bill proposal was in your district, in your hometown there at Briarfield. You know, things have progressed beyond that, and they're talking about maybe bonding it out. But, you know, give us some thoughts on, you know, where you think this discussion about prisons ought to be, or where it is, your assessment on that.
Sure. You know, prisons were a very hot topic in District 14 during my campaign. There was a lot of discussion related to the prison locations in Bibb County. You know, you currently have a prison in Brent, and I've had discussions with the mayor. They would love to retain a prison there. Citizens of Briarfield are adamantly opposed to a prison at that location. And, you know, one of the reasons is there's no infrastructure that in place at that location. There's no sewer. There's no water. It's out in the middle of a very, very rural area. Like you said, I've not been in any of the state house discussions about prisons since being elected, but I have been invited to the House and Senate Prison Work Group this week, and I am eager to attend to hear more about the current situations of the prisons, and look forward to being a part of those discussions going forward.
Well, Senator, you've been very kind with your time this morning. We got to leave it there, but thanks for making time. Let's do it again real soon.
I would love that. Thank you again for having me, Jeff. Have a great day.
You do the same. That was State Senator Weaver on the line there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Every morning at 8, make it to work. They're always late. Living by